This is TV's Mr. Neil of DeCN.com, and you're listening to This Week in Geek, a science train wreck.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world. And TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of This Week in Geek. This Week in Geek.
Hello and welcome to the Nerd News Network here on This Week in Geek. I'm, of course, TF Joe and Mike. Joining me, as always, Ryan, the Uneven Flow Merkley. Hello, sir.
Yo.
And a special guest this week, the Mayhem Mike's announcer, TV's Mr. Neil.
Hi-ho.
That was the best intro you could come up with? Man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. You've done other things. Wow.
Well... Not a lot of people talk about animation aficionados these days, and, yeah.
Anyway. That's okay, not a lot of people listen to Nerd News these days.
Well, we didn't have an episode last week, so that was probably, you know, better than... Anyway.
Oh, the last God. 10? No, anyway.
Fuck you. You know, Stick is right. Get your shit together. Anyway, so we are here once again. This is going to be a short and sweet nerd news this week. Several things to talk about. Probably one of the bigger topics is what Ryan's going to bring up in the Eisner Awards. So you want to talk about the Eisners?
Okay. The Eisner Awards, for people who don't know, which is apparently constrained to Blanchard, it is the yearly...
Shut up! Just woke up at the time. I misspelled it once. Give me a break here.
Actually, you misspelled it originally, too.
Anyway.
When you were telling Dodd about it. But anyway. So, we got the nominations. They came out. And, the only thing that bugs me is, licensed stuff. Most notably, More Than Meets the Eyes. Never gonna get nominated for anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, aside from that, man, it's a really good list this year. This year, it's basically the Tom King Awards. He and his series are nominated in a number of different categories, and it's well-deserved. He had a really good year writing.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of glad that Jason Aaron and, to a certain extent, Brian K. Vaughan are in the backseat, because they've been winning the last few years.
Yeah, I looked through these, and... The only three names in the best writer category I recognize are Brubaker, Lemire, and Vaughn. You'd think Roberts would have hit best writer, at least a nomination, I mean.
That'd be nice. Max Landis is... I'm not a huge fan of his, but he's popular. Chelsea Kane definitely deserves it. Mockingbird was fantastic. The other one I would have included there, I'm surprised King didn't just flat out get a best writer. Because, I mean, he has one of the best one-shots this year. It has one of the best limited series. Wow. Anyway, in my defense, I did also just wake up. Anyway, so... No, it's really good. Your Black Friend is going to probably win Best Single Issue, because it's amazing. I have no clue what's going to win Best Continuing Series, but it's quite the list. Astro City, which is still running and still being done by Kurt Busiek, is really good. The Mighty Thor has been outstanding this year, but Paper Girls and Saga is pretty tough to beat. So, a lot of good... different series there. The only sort of surprise or licensed product is Han Solo. I have not read it. Got nominated for Best Limited Series. I'll have to read it before we do the Star Wars special, but...
Yeah. Well, you've got...
I can't read everything.
You've got a little while for that. I mean, we haven't... not even to that yet.
No, I know, but I mean, I'll read it beforehand.
Okay, that's... yeah, I didn't even know that they had had... until looking at this list... I didn't even know they had done a Han Solo one-shot.
No, it's a limited series. It wasn't a one-shot. But
it's a five-issue miniseries. Yep. But I had, no, at this point, like they did this last year. I knew of all of the other Star Wars one-shot type limited series things, and you know, I did not know about this one, and I'm like, wait a second. When did they do this? Oh, last year. Okay, then.
I've heard of Star Wars.
I've heard of it. I just did not know that. Like, I thought they had stopped doing the.
I wasn't picking on you. I was just saying anyway.
Because the other ones they had were Leia, Lando, and Chewie.
Yeah. One of the other things I've always liked about the Eisners is the. Best new series, basically whatever wins is a really good book to pick up and continue.
Mm-hmm.
Although this year we've got a couple that have ended, but anyway, if you go through the winners for best new series over the years, man, it's like a what of really good series that have either ended in a lot of cases or are still continuing. So
yeah, absolutely.
It's a good recommendation list. So.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, Neil, what do you got for your first story this week?
Well, I have a pair of home video releases that are coming up. First is the Cinematic Titanic Complete Collection, which is Mystery Science Theater in the off years, back when somebody else held the copyright or the rights to the show. Features Joel Hodgson, the creator of the show, J. Elvis Weinstein, Mary Jo Pell, TV's Frank, and Trace Boulay, I think. And this collection, it's a collection of 12 movies, 12 movie riffs, featuring such classics as The Wasp Woman, Legacy of Blood, and Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Have either of you ever seen this show?
No, yes. I have.
I'm a big
not.
MST. I'm an MST3K junkie. So anyway,
yeah, it's basically the same show without the theater seats.
Yeah, they were broken off. This is what they did rather than Riff Tracks. Essentially, I mean, mm-hmm. The two groups kind of went other ways. There were plans apparently to eventually have them. Or one on the other, but it just never sort of materialized because, I mean, they started up the MST3K crowdfunding and just, it didn't materialize. But, yeah, it's really good.
Yeah,
I'm
it's
happy
basically...
that, I mean, it's about time it's been released.
Yeah, it's basically... It basically recaptures the magic of, like, the first few seasons of the show that was on Comedy Central. And the other home video release, I'm just going to do these as a pair, and then I have another news story later. Mm-hmm. The other home video release I have is the anime The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, which is a cartoon that I fondly remember from my childhood and my adventures through UHF land. All these weird shows that they would show on, like, weird local networks. And it was a 52-episode anime series. Animated very well, but it's kind of unheard of. It's only kind of come back in recent years. People actually started to remember this, and it's getting a Blu-ray release, all 52 episodes, presumably on one disc because it's standard definition. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the Angry Video Game Nerd Blu-ray, where it's like 19 hours of content on one disc. It's crazy. And I really recommend picking it up because it's really good. If you like old school anime, if you're not into stuff like Speed Racer or Sailor Moon, maybe give it a pass. Otherwise, I love it.
That is awesome.
I vaguely remember it. Up here, I'm trying to remember who showed it in Canada, but yeah. I'm cheating, and I've got like the video of it on in the background because I'm trying to remember this. And yeah, I've definitely seen at least a couple episodes when I was younger.
And the cool thing is that it goes well beyond what the original movie showed. Like, the original movie only covers about like 2/3 of the original book. There's like a few more chapters after she comes back to the, after Dorothy comes back to the Emerald City, and it goes on and on. And you remember how like the witch just kind of the good witch in the north just kind of shows up and tells her that she can click her heels and go home. And you sit there wondering like why didn't she tell her that in the first place? It's because it was supposed to be a different witch. There was a good witch of the north and of the south, and the one at the end of the movie is different from the one at the beginning, or it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happens. I just gave away the ending, kind of.
So the evil witch in the south voted for Donald Trump, and then the witch in the north.
No. Oh. Don't eat.
What are you worried about? I mean, if people listen to this, they could send me hate mail, but, you know.
Yes. Mike at thisweekingeek.net.
Yeah. That's where all hate mail goes.
Oh, crap. That's
someday funny. I'm going to put that in one of my movie reviews. Maybe for, like, Aliens Covenant or something.
You know, that would be ironic, considering he loves that franchise.
He's not going to love this one. Oh, anyway.
Anyway, that's all for me.
All right. What else has been going on this week? Ryan, did you figure anything else out this week?
There's plenty of things, but isn't it time for your story? Don't we do this in order?
No, not really.
No.
Because really the only thing for me that I've been stuck on is the Marvel Defenders trailer. I don't know if it's because of using the Nirvana song or because the trailer is that damn awesome, but if anyone has not seen this trailer, holy crap.
Is there any chance we can put a moratorium on trailers for everything, video games, film, TV? Can we put a moratorium on the slowed down music?
No.
If they take a popular song and immediately slow it down, I swear every trailer is doing that. I will note one other thing. So I saw Guardians of the Galaxy on the weekend. I did not... I don't review the Marvel movies. I'm too biased. So... it's true. I mean, so I just don't review them. And some of them contain... Or some of the screenings for Guardians 2 contain a trailer for Wonder Woman, which mm-hmm. is not completely out of the ordinary. What's weird is this trailer consists of Chris Pine and Gal Gadot basically standing there begging you to see the movie. It's really off-putting and weird. I suspect it's one of those that got filmed because reaction to BVS and Suicide Squad was not positive for some odd reason. But... it's just weird seeing, you know, you got this movie that opens in a couple weeks and the two principal actors are going, so, yeah, would you kind of go see our movie? And they've had some odd marketing for it. The worst one by far has been the Wonder Woman shilling protein bars. Like, ooh. That's,
you know,
basically the signal for female empowerment from decades ago, telling you, like, eat these and don't get fat is a little... That's not some great on-point marketing there.
Something thin bars. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Now, you say that, and the only thing I can think of, and I know this is not what it is because, I'm sorry, the figureheads at Warner Brothers are not this damn smart. You know, she's shilling these protein bars, and all I can think of is Flash from... A Better World from Justice League when they had the Flash speed bars in Superman's lunchbox when Superman got flung into the future. But, I mean, as soon as I saw all of the, you know, teasers and trailers, I was going to go see Wonder Woman regardless. I didn't need, like, regardless of how crappy BVS was and how only the first 10 minutes of Suicide Squad was any good for me, Wonder Woman has looked great ever since I saw that first teaser, so I was going to go see that movie regardless.
Yeah, it's just a weird marketing bit, though. It's not something you expect. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I expect, you know, trailers and that kind of thing in front of the movie. I don't expect the actors kind of going, come see this?
Yes.
That's... Well, you still got another month for the movie to come out?
Yeah. No, it's later this month.
Yeah, it's only 2 weeks. They got so it's weird because we had this lull between Fast 8 and Guardians. So Guardians basically came out this weekend unopposed, but all of a sudden everybody's moved in right behind it, pretty much, because Aliens opens soon. I think that's the 16th. Yeah. Something like that. And then, 19th. And then a week after that is Wonder Woman. So it's also a weird release schedule this year because I'm a little surprised they... First of all, Wonder Woman hasn't been super heavily marketed yet, but I'm shocked that they want to, you know, move it right behind Aliens instead of... There are a couple breaks between films, so...
Yeah, some of the releases this year... Like you're saying, where they're where they're placed is a little strange. It's like they don't want competition for anybody. Like 10 years ago, even 15 years ago, you always had films going up against each other at the box office to see who was going to win. And it seems like this year they don't want anything to.
Well, I mean, either you guys, you know, are welcome to correct me on this because I could be totally off. But I'm just off the top of my head remembering everything that's due out like in the future and what's come out in the last few weeks, and this is not a super stacked year for films in the summer or spring and summer, I should say.
I'd have to look at it, but yeah, it doesn't seem like, and by now we would have already, you know, Guardians 2 is kind of the Spider-Man 1 of 2002 because it came out, like you said, this, you know, this past weekend on May 5th, well, May 3rd, 2002, 15 years ago, is when the original Raimi Spider-Man film came out, and that was kind of the kickoff to the, you know, the blockbuster summer stuff. And like I said, I'd have to go through and look at the actual spring and summer releases
to find out. If you want to, that's okay if you want to feel really old. Fifth Element turned 25 years, yeah. 20 years. Old this month.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, yeah. Where does the time go?
Yeah. I just remembered that when you mentioned how old Spider-Man was, and I remember thinking, yeah, well, Fifth Element's 20 years old now. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Still a great movie, though. All right, so you brought up, you know, we're going to push the Defenders talk a little bit since you brought up Wonder Woman in front of Guardians. Coming up, actually... Tomorrow, Tuesday, May 9th, I think it's at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Central, La La Land Records is going to be releasing the three-disc set of the Wonder Woman original television soundtrack. So this is going to be epic. Retail price is $34.98. It's on three discs. Music is done by Charles Fox, Artie Kane, Robert Prince, Johnny Harris, Robert O'Raglan, Angela Morley, and Richard LaSalle. Limited edition of 3,000 units. So yeah, tying into later this month's release of the Wonder Woman movie, they're finally putting out the Wonder Woman TV soundtrack, which is going to be really cool. And I'll have a more in-depth review on the La La Land Lounge over on Geekcast Radio at some point.
Just to be blunt here, too, or just to bring up something else that's semi on topic, but I mean, has anyone else find it weird that with how inexpensive printing is for discs and that kind of thing, especially large format discs now, it's odd to me that more, you know, that basically everything isn't on, hasn't been released. Yeah. I mean, A, there's a market for it, but I mean, Neil brought up, you know, the Wizard of Oz anime that ran a significant number of episodes, you know, compared to like Firefly, which was 12 episodes on a box set. but I mean, it's weird to me that there's still all this stuff that's just never seen released before.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I find odd with the proliferation of, and same with like digital media, you could put it up somewhere and host it for next to nothing at this point and sell keys or however you want to distribute it. It's just odd to me that, you know, the Wonder Woman soundtrack is another one. That's Wonder Woman's, the original show with Linda Carter, is a piece of Americana history. Like, people who know nothing about the character in general remember that show.
Yeah, absolutely. They remember the theme song. They remember her in it. They remember all that stuff. It's the same thing with Adam West Batman. It's the same thing. I think it's two things for this year, the reason why La La Land Records is putting it out now. Because I've known about this. I've heard news about this release from them since Comic-Con last year in 2016. I think the reason why, other than the fact they're putting it out in May, a couple of weeks before the new movie, this is also the 40th anniversary of the television series this year. So
if you weren't feeling old before.
If you weren't feeling old before, you're going to feel old now, folks. it's going to be awesome to check out that soundtrack score from La La Land Records. And you're right, Ryan, why not put out, you know, all this stuff? But I think it's timing. I think it's...
Oh, yeah, no, there's certainly something about timing. But, for example, you know, Neo's Wizard of Oz, why is that not... You know, Wizard of Oz is something that everybody knows. You can release that at pretty much any point. Mm. I don't know if there's anything in the works in the future in terms of redoing it. We've had a number of remakes, so...
There have been a number of remakes of Wizard of Oz. There have been a number of...
not so good remakes of
There was a new television series recently that I don't think is getting picked up for a second season. Good old Emerald City. Anyway, that's what's going on with Wonder Woman stuff. Neil, what's your other story that you have?
Five games added to the Video Game Hall of Fame: Donkey Kong, Halo, Street Fighter 2, and Pokemon Red and Pokemon Blue.
Talk about a variance.
Yeah. Why isn't Street Fighter 2 already on there?
My question was, why wasn't Donkey Kong already in there?
That too.
Never heard of either of them. Yeah, no, Donkey Kong, what? It's basically on the same level as Pac-Man.
Essentially,
how do you have a Video Game Hall of Fame without it is almost a better question. And then Halo, that seems a little too recent. I mean, listen, I love the original game, but man, like the same year as Street Fighter 2, really?
How old is Halo?
2000
Two console generations ago, I know that. I don't know the exact year.
I want to say 2001, but I could be totally wrong.
That it is.
Yeah, because I picked it up with my Xbox on day one. I'm old. man, that's baffling to me. I don't know. There's so many sort of classic titles that you could be throwing into the Hall of Fame before Halo. That's an odd one. What about, you know, Wing Commander, which was one of the first games to use A, digitalized voice acting, and B, to actually include a story and cutscenes in video games? That's fairly significant. The original Fallout, significant. I mean, first-person shooters existed long before Halo. Man, I hope, like, Wolfenstein is in there. Although they existed before Wolfenstein, but anyway.
But Doom is in there.
Well, Doom at least makes sense.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, because I read the headline that said five games added. I kept scrolling up and down. Like, I can only see four. And, of course, they counted Pokemon twice, because it's two different...
Oh, that's just stupid.
That's just lame.
That is just lame. What the hell?
And it really is the same game. It's just like there's like a slight variance in the ROM image that changes it from red version to blue version.
I just don't get the whole Pokemon thing anymore.
It's OCD mixed with Dragon Quest, and no, you should not get into it because it's just.
I'm not going to. I mean, look, I've seen the cartoon show years and years and years ago. I've seen like the first two or three or four seasons of the cartoon show. I've seen video games of it, and I just don't. It just holds no interest for me whatsoever.
Aside from class of like 2015, man, the list of this is baffling to me. I'm just looking through everything. So class of 2015, you had Pac-Man, Pong, Super Mario Brothers, Tetris, Doom. That's fine. I think you can easily make a case for all those. World of Warcraft is a little more recent than I'd like, but okay, fine. It popularized MMOs. That makes sense. And then we start going downhill to me, because in 2016 they introduced The Sims. Really? Not, you know, Sim City or Populous or other games that, you know, basically defined what the genre would end up being. But no, the friggin' Sims.
Yeah.
At least Space Invaders is there. That's a good one. Oregon Trail, everybody knows. Legend of Zelda, Sonic, okay, fine. My feelings on my love of the Sonic franchise as it's gone on are well known.
Please expound for those of us that have not heard this.
No.
Oh, come on.
Search Sonic the Hedgehog on DeviantArt and
say no more.
Spend your next 3 years there. But yeah, and then this year, I don't know, there's some weird ones. I love Portal, but I wouldn't have, you know, put it on there.
So what are the qualifications?
Weird, Mortal Kombat's not there.
What are the qualifications to get on the Video Game Hall of Fame list?
The four criteria are iconic status, longevity, reach, as in geographical reach, I assume, and then influence.
Well, Portal has some influence. I don't know too much about its longevity. I mean, how old is that game?
Yeah, it's only 10 years old.
Yeah,
that's a weird one.
I would say for a Video Game Hall of Fame, the game franchise has to be at least 20 years old. That's just my personal opinion.
I wouldn't mind if there was some sort of age criteria. Same with, like, Wii Sports is on the list, which is
why?
It was popular and well-known, but it wasn't very good. but, yeah, maybe some type of... You know, like Mortal Kombat's not in there, for example.
I don't understand why. That.
Now, granted, I'd probably put Street Fighter 2 in slightly first.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Just because it was, in a lot of ways, it was the originator. Man, it was crazy. I miss that. The original Street Fighter 2 cartridge is super cheap for Super Nintendo now. It's under $10 and is definitely worth it if you're like me, and that was, you know, one of the first fighting games you ever played.
Yeah, I had played that. I remember playing that, and I remember playing Mortal Kombat, and I know there have been a lot of other fighting games since those two, but let's face it, those two pretty much...
Well, they're both still around, which is saying something.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm saying that, you know, those two games pretty much put fighting games on the map. I mean, you know, I mentioned it last week and a couple weeks, you know, before. You have all the various versions of what is Soul Calibur, Soul Edge, Soul whatever. And I love that game series. You know, you've got...
Tekken, Dead or Alive.
Tekken,
Marvel
Dead or Alive.
Versus Capcom.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got all these other things. But when you think of, like, classic video game fighters, the first two franchises that anyone's going to think of is Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat.
Right now, there's an SNK fan writing you guys an angry email.
Yeah, shit, I forgot King of Fighters, and, you know, man, that's not good.
I'm guessing that they're just kind of pacing out the legendary games, sort of like how the WWE Hall of Fame just keeps the legends very spaced apart. So I'm guessing, like, in separate years, we're going to get Contra, then Mega Man, then Castlevania, just so they can really draw it out.
Yeah, probably. Not to mention it helps them sort of keep relevance over time the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Will they, like the WWE Hall of Fame, induct Arnold Schwarzenegger and Donald Trump?
Please,
oh, and Drew Carey?
You know who they should induct is Mike Tyson.
Oh.
Actually, both could. Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Between Punch-Out and biting people's ears off, yeah.
It's probably not the most notable horrible thing he did, but anyway.
Let's move on.
Alright, so as I mentioned before, the Defenders trailer came out for Marvel's Netflix series. Neil, have you watched any of the other series that they've put out for the Marvel stuff?
No, I've been sticking mainly to the movies.
Okay. I know Ryan and I have watched all of them.
I still haven't watched Iron Fist.
Okay, well, we've watched all of them except Iron Fist.
You have interrupted a citywide investigation. You stole evidence from my crime scene. And you got my one lead killed. I was trying to help him, but you didn't.
Jessica Jones, stop talking.
Who the hell are you?
My name is Matthew Murdock. I'm your attorney.
How does being Harlem's hero allow you to live an actual life?
Right now, I just want to help people.
I think there's someone that you need to meet.
Hey! What are you doing in there? Help! Who are you?
Who are you?
How come you can't be hurt?
What's the deal with that fist?
I'm the immortal Iron Fist.
You what?
You're on the same side.
You four. The devil of Hell's Kitchen. The smart-ass detective.
We got a problem?
The righteous ex-con.
My bad.
And the kid with a glowing fist.
Yes, I want you to be.
The war for New York is here.
Best unknown enemy.
So get your shit together.
The more connections you have, the easier it will be to break you. You look like an idiot.
It's your scar.
We make quite a team.
No.
What are you talking about? Bulletproof. Blind ninja. Whatever it is you are.
Classy.
So my question is, do we need to watch Iron Fist before Defenders? Because after watching this trailer, I don't think so. I pretty much get it. I mean,
it seems to be more based off of season two of Daredevil.
Yeah.
Was probably one of the more important ones. And maybe Luke Cage will be important as well.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping Jessica Jones is. But obviously, like her, the villain in Jessica Jones, for example, will not be a portion of this, presumably.
Obviously not.
Man, that was a really good series. Anyway.
It was. Very good, actually.
I love you, David Tennant, or Scrooge McDuck, or whatever you want to call him, or the Doctor.
No, it's the only... Okay, I love that guy. He's awesome. But that's the only role of his that I just do not buy, is him voicing Scrooge McDuck in the new DuckTales cartoon. That just seems off to me. But the Defenders trailer, you've got, you know, Iron Fist versus Luke Cage kind of thing. You've got all of them kind of coming together, and... you've got Stick doing a voiceover, and the best line out of the trailer is, get your shit together. It really, really is. So the Defenders will hit, I believe it's August 18th, all episodes on Netflix, and I cannot wait for that. That's going to be an epic, epic series, I think.
I kind of like that it's going to be shorter, than the other series. It's only going to be 8 episodes, which
oh, really?
I think is a good choice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the issues, as much as I like the... as much as I like the other series, there's always a sort of a lull slash drawing it out a little bit, so this hopefully will eliminate that. The only two things that kind of give me some sort of pause. One, it's based off of the worst part of Daredevil season 2, which was the hand storyline.
Yeah.
It seems pretty clear Elektra is going to be the main villain. And then the other thing that gives me pause is I understand to a certain extent now a lot of the... And I haven't watched Iron Fist. I will at some point before this. But I understand some of the comments regarding Danny Rand in it, because, he's not super charismatic or exciting in this.
I mean, from what I've seen in this trailer, he seems to be, because it's only short snippets of him. It's him with Luke, and then it's him at the end with all of them sitting around having shawarma or whatever the hell they're sitting around drinking or whatever. I will make up my own mind once I watch Iron Fist, but I have not heard a single positive thing about that show.
I've heard a decent amount. It's not a split or anything, but there's definitely people that enjoy it, which is fine. Mm. There are people that enjoy the Michael Bay's Transformer movies, though, so...
Well, they're wrong.
No, I know. Sometimes you just gotta, hold people accountable. So
this past weekend, this past Saturday was Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, yeah. Should mention that.
We are. That's why I'm bringing it up, because you mentioned...
Sorry, yeah, I just totally forgot. Anyway.
You mentioned the Transformers movies, and I was in line at my local comic shop. I have not been to the shop in forever, because I live on the other side of town from where the shop is now, so it's not exactly an easy trek for me.
You're not allowed outside.
Ha, huh, funny. I'll melt. Anyway, I'm standing in line, and behind me are two brothers who are significantly... I mean, the older of the two brothers has to be 15, 16 years old, something like that. And then he had a younger brother with him. The kid was probably between 8 and 10. And they said something about one of the movies coming out this year. I forget what they actually said. And... I said something in effect, well, at least it's not Transformers from Michael Bay. And the older kid looks at me and says, I've been a Transformers fan a long time, and I hate those movies. And this kid was like 15 years old, so this kid apparently was raised right, because I told him, I said, I'm 37, I've been a fan of that franchise for 30 years, and those movies make me cringe. Free Comic Book Day, I did go... I got the Turtles issue. I got Star Trek Mirror Broken. I Hate Image, which is the Scotty Young I Hate Fairyland franchise kind of crossing over into other Image franchises. And I got the DC Superhero Girls one just because I needed something from DC that wasn't super dark. Because most of the DC stuff that they released for Free Comic Book Day is I don't know. It's just weird. It was fun. The cool thing about the shop that I go to is they do Free Comic Book Day. They have the free comics on Free Comic Book Day, but they have this whole week. They make a whole weekend out of it with all the sales they have going on and everything else. And when you go to Free Comic Book Day, folks, you should really also support the shop, not just go there for the free comics. So buy something. Doesn't matter what it was. And I bought my first Funko Pop vinyl figure in Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now, when I posted this, you know where this is going. When I posted this, Neil was like, I just don't understand the craze of the Funko stuff.
I don't. Bring back the wrestling buddies.
I think the craze of it is that they're Funko pretty much... is all reaching. It's not just one genre specific. They've got Funko stuff for everything. So
Plus, my eye always twitches a little when you say that because I hear Funko, and I think of that video game resale store. I'm like, oh man, I miss that.
No. Like to me, they're. I guess part of it's because they're inexpensive, and I'm definitely think that's a factor. But yeah, I mean, they're kind of like cheap, not great looking statues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all. You can't, you know, pose them really or do anything with them. So, I mean, I guess that's it's an inexpensive way to show your fandom, I suppose.
I mean, for me, you know, I'll say this. I had seen them before before I had gone out to California last year, but until I went out to California and stayed with my buddy Doug for a while, I had not actually seen how people display them. And he and his wife have a lot of these things. And they've got them displayed all over their house, but they're not, they don't ever open them out of the boxes. They just display them in the boxes. So for me, it's more of a display thing than it is an actual action figure, I'm going to knock his block off kind of thing, you know?
But it kind of has the creepy stare. I mean, you walk by the thing, it's like, stop looking at me.
Yeah. And in this case, I bought Stone Cold, so, you know. Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? Ryan, what did you do for Free Comic Book Day this year?
Went and saw Guardians of the Galaxy and forgot about Free Comic Book Day.
So you didn't even go to your comic shop?
I don't really have one in a story that I'm not going to sell anytime soon. Man, I killed that topic.
Wow. Alrighty then, folks. We're going to get the heck out of here.
You know what? Before we go, I should mention really quick, because I think I forgot to say this, is that both the DVD and Blu-ray releases that I just mentioned, those are coming out in August, so they're not out yet.
Okay.
They were just announced.
All right. Good, good.
Because otherwise people are going to be going on Amazon like, where is it?
He told us to go find this and we can't find it. Neil, what do you got coming up?
Not a whole lot. I'm on a podcast with you.
Yeah, that is
true. Watching Sonic the Hedgehog cartoons. Hey.
Yay.
Yeah, speaking of people who don't like recent Sonic, no, anyway, which one are you up to now?
We're on Adventures.
Okay.
The comedy series. We finished the Satan series. So yeah, we're on the one with Long John Baldry as the voice of Robotnik.
But we're kind of doing a public service because we're that show has long been maligned, and I don't really understand why. It's not that bad. It's not something that I think I would watch regularly, but if it was on in the afternoon, I wouldn't turn it off. It's got its funny moments.
Yeah. My only problem with Adventures of Sonic is kind of the opposite problem I had with Sat AM, where Sat AM suffers from having too many characters as Freedom Fighters sometimes at times in that series, and Adventures of Sonic suffers from not having enough characters because it's just him and Tails as Freedom Fighters in that series. So yeah, we're doing that. Ryan and I just wrapped up Autobotly April talking about the Transformers comics from IDW. And, you know, Nerd News will be going on. Who knows, you know, who we'll have next week as co-hosts and all that good stuff. And yeah, where can the people find you online, Ryan?
At Nightbeat on Twitter.
Yeah, you remembered.
See, I'm getting good at it.
Yeah, you are. What about you, Neil?
Decian.com, and basically all of my social media contacts are right there. So need to find me on Twitter. It's right there.
Awesome. You can find me at TFG1Mike on Twitter. Go to thisweekingeek.net for all the other Twig content. You can also check out geekcastradio.com for all the other stuff I do over there as well. Tune in next week for Nerd News episode 13. Dun dun dun.
When will this insanity end?
That was wonderful.
Bravo!
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't make it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Remember, kids, buy pizza, pay with snakes.
What's your social media business card? My fist.
Just give me a big box of beef.
Don't give them ideas.
Don't forget our other twig project, GeorgeLucasHasLostHisMind.com.
Does Jesus have Matrix powers?
I think the Pillsbury Doughboy's albino.
I'd like to see a cat on Tourette's.
It's the moment I give up on life. Because then I don't know what to believe in anymore. When the Amish start twittering, I'm done.
Can we leave this subject alone?
Hello.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh no.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm confused. As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear Kyle Hebert say...
Today, the world. Tomorrow, the universe. Next week, my chiropractor. Oy, my back.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well as subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment about this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can also call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202 or email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by PerpetualEmotionMachine.ca. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.